All right, for the Android Headline Show. So 87 is, what's tonight? December 3rd, 2014 was over. December 3rd, it's the Wednesday. We're back on track for our Wednesday shows after off weeks with the holidays and whatnot. My name's Jeremiah. I'm joined tonight by Nick and Alex. You guys want to say?
What's up, everybody?
My connection's horrible. Hopefully I don't sound terrible. But hello.
Well, you look great, so...
All right.
You sound good, too. No worries. But yeah, so this week was really, you know, we got through Thanksgiving. We got through Black Friday. We got through Cyber Monday. We launched the Android Headlines deal site, which you can find at deals.androidheadlines.com. That's a phenomenal deal site. I'm so excited about this. So now we have our own deal site. You can click through there, find discounts on all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's hardware, there's apps in there, there's accessories, there's phones, battery, you know, like big battery packs and game and Bluetooth controllers and speakers and headphones, everything.
There's giveaways too.
All discounted. Yep. All just for you. So we just finished we were giving away a Nexus 6 and a Nexus 9. We wrapped that up. And what are we? We're getting ready to give away something else. There's a couple other things in the plan. I don't remember what now. But be on the lookout for that. So
on the deals store, there's a giveaway for, I think it's a terabyte of Dropbox storage for 3 years. I'm not sure if that one's ended yet, but there's that one. There's also a Evernote Premium giveaway on there. And there's a big smartphone giveaway. You can pick your choice out of 5 different Android smartphones there, like the Note 4, I think the Note Edge, Moto X, and a couple others, flagships too. I think that one ends in a couple of days.
That's killer, man. A terabyte of Dropbox space. Evernote. Is it Pro or Premium? What do they call that?
Premium, I think? Not okay. Sure.
That is great. So excited about the deal site. Yes, Nick, we are live. I'm not sure what technical difficulties you're running into, but it's cool. Nick's over here in the chat asking, "Hey, are we actually on the air here? What's going on?" which is pretty typical for Google, you know, around Nexus time. We got new Nexus phones. They're rolling out Android 5.0 Lollipop to a ton of devices. They actually pushed 5.0.1 to AOSP this week as well. So usually around this time every year, Google services start acting wonky. Gmail start acting up, or you can't get into Google Drive. Hangouts last week for us was acting stupid. You know, we thought we were going to have to can the show again, and then we ended up getting started late. So Hangouts apparently is due again this week. So we're live. No worries. So yeah, the deal site, there's a bunch of other news, some hardware and software stuff, but let's jump into some news. So the big thing this week obviously was Black Friday and Cyber Monday, in addition to Thanksgiving, celebrate it. The deal site is live now, and we saw there was a whole bunch of really good deals on stuff for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. But the other thing that I was excited about this week, we were able to confirm that on next week's Android Headline Show, we're going to have Will Choi. He's one of the co-founders of Aviate, venture that I'm using that I absolutely love. Aviate was acquired by Yahoo, and Will Choi work at Yahoo now on the ABA team. So super excited we're going to have him on the show next week. So that'll be December 10th. If you guys have questions that you want to ask about Aviate or just Yahoo in general, we talked to JBQ a couple weeks ago. I'm excited to talk to William Choi and kind of get his perspective on Yahoo as a company. He used to work at Google, the co-founders of Aviate. They worked at Google and then left there to start the company that built Aviate. So I'm excited to get his perspective on the two companies, kind of the shift and the process of being acquired by a big company like Yahoo. And so super excited about that. So that'll be happening next week, December 10th. We'll have, you know, stuff from that. We'll write up a couple of posts on that too after that interview. I'm really excited. Really, we don't have any kind of like official partnership with Yahoo, but they're really great folks. And so now we got JBQ, and now we had JBQ, and now we've got Will Choi coming up to talk to us on the show. They're just great folks over at Yahoo, and they want to talk about Android, and so do we. So it works out really well for us. But yeah, if you do have questions, drop us a line, send us an email, or you know, Twitter or Google Plus, leave a note on the show post on the website. Let us know if there's something you want us to ask William Choi next week. Some other Google and Android news happening. Chromecast officially overtook Apple TV for the number two spot in streaming device sales. So Roku, for the last like 3 years, 4 years running, Roku's had the number one spot, and Apple TV was squarely in the second spot for streaming devices. And then there were a whole bunch of other, there were like Sony Google TV boxes, and the Amazon Fire TV climbed up this year in 2014 since it's been released. But Chromecast, too. Chromecast climbed all the way up to number two. Beat out Apple TV for that. This is just based on market share, so sales of devices. Chromecast is crushing it, man.
Yeah, before the Chromecast came out, it was basically just Roku and Apple TV anyways.
Yeah,
it did. Google TV out there, but it wasn't really streamlined.
Yeah, like Google TV and Roku is very much a tech-savvy product.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Chromecast is like 9,000 button remotes, you know?
It's like having your whole keyboard from your desk on your remote control.
Plus some keys.
Yeah. That's just the one side.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Yep. I think the more Google adds features to Chromecast, like we now have casting built straight into the Lollipop. You can cast your screen. I mean, there's so many things that they've added to it now, and they were just selling it for $25 the other day on Cyber Monday.
It's like so $22
for dirt cheap.
It's $22 and you get $10 Google Play gift credit card, whatever. So it's even cheaper. I think Amazon's also still doing 2 months of Hulu Plus for free. So it's like, why not get it?
Yeah, you might as well. I'm thinking about picking up one to throw in my travel bag. We're forever, you know, if you're traveling to a family member's house or, you know, you're staying in a hotel somewhere, bring your Chromecast. My kids, it drives my kids crazy. They're 3.5, and they don't understand regular TV. We don't have cable. I just have a Chromecast with Netflix, and sometimes I'll stream stuff in the Chrome browser and just throw it, just cast it over to my TV. But they don't understand how commercials work. So like, we're at my mother-in-law's house for Thanksgiving, and there's just regular TV. And every time a commercial comes on, they start crying. They're yelling. They're like, "What? Where's my show?" I'm like, dude, you this This is how regular TV works. This is, you can't freak out about this. These are commercials, so I had to like explain to them, there's a break in the show, there's commercials for a couple minutes, and then your show will come back on. So I'm thinking of picking up another Chromecast and just to take it with us, you know, when we're traveling for situations like that.
That's fantastic.
I have one that I keep in my bag for when I'm traveling. Because, like, when you go to these hotels, they have, like, such crappy TV channels.
Yeah.
Not that I'm there for that long, but still.
And for $22,
that's a good idea. I might have to bring mine over. Yes.
I mean, yeah, it's not even really $22 when you factor in the Google Play credit and the Hulu Plus. Although I'm boycotting Hulu Plus for making us pay for ads.
But still, that's Hulu Plus streaming is what, $8 a month? Just like
I think it's $8. I think it's
still $7. Yeah, so 2 months of that is $16. You get a $10 Google Play gift card. So you're buying the thing for $24. Yep. They pay when you do the math. So no surprise that Google is beating out Apple TV for that number two spot behind. And Roku is really losing market share. They dropped from close to 50% in 2013 to so far in 2014. They're down at like 30%, 28 to 30%, something like that.
I mean, so, they put out that HDMI streaming stick, but it's still, like, I think $50 or $45 or something like that. So Google's still killing them there. And before that, they just had, you know, the set-top boxes. And why get that when you can just get the Chromecast, which can do just about everything the Roku can do, but more.
Yep. So that pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Tough. I don't know. You gotta wonder what a company like Roku can do, because you know Google can eat it. They have so many other services that they can make the money off of, but Roku.
The ads.
That's about it.
I wonder how long before the Fire TV gets up there, especially with the Fire TV stick now, because that was a really popular item this past week on Black Friday, Cyber Monday, because I think Best Buy was selling it for like $20 or something like that too, about the same price as a Chromecast. And I mean it. Pretty much does everything Chromecast can do as well, as long as you install Allcast on it, and you're all set.
Yep. Yeah, and that's Amazon's got a really good product with the Fire TV and now the Fire TV stick.
Yep, and that thing is, what, $19 for Prime customers, I think, and $39 for everybody else.
Yeah, so even then, you know, it's a good deal. So that's fun. That's I'm glad to see something changing in people's living rooms, in a significant way. Because cable sucks, man. Cable TV just sucks.
I've never had cable ever.
Yep, me neither, and I'm very happy about that. It stays that way.
I don't even have regular TV on my TV. It's just Chromecast and Fire TV.
Yeah, I tell you what, I really hope some of these major networks start jumping on this stuff, because like. Without going into a long story, on Thanksgiving Day, we tried to watch the parade, and the only TV I have is over the air. So I turn on the news, works fine. As soon as the parade starts, bam, no signal, doesn't work. It took me a half an hour to find some crappy 480i stream on the internet. So I had to watch this like really poor man's version of the parade, and I was so ticked off, because it's like, how hard is this? I have a Chromecast. I have a computer. It's not on YouTube. It's not anything. There's no official stream. Like, what are these people dragging their feet for? Get with it.
Yeah, that's how I have to watch all the sporting stuff I watch. I have to watch it through a site like that, and it's usually just so bad. Either the sound is, like, real, super loud.
Yeah, and, some like, real distorted. Shady site. Yeah. Like, you're not ever going to get a virus or something, you know?
That's what Adblocker Plus is for.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. They need to jump on it. It would not be difficult. It would actually be super easy to sell ads against the internet and make some, you know, generate some money that way. But they're so set in the old way of TV.
Yeah.
It makes it difficult.
If you just got like all the sports, you know, NFL, baseball, basketball, everybody, you know, just put together a package so you can you know, subscribe like 10, 15 bucks a month for it, I'd be fine. So as long as it's HD, 720p or 1080p.
I'd pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
I would absolutely pay for it. But I'm not paying for... Yeah, but I mean, I'm definitely not paying $100 a month or more for cable TV. Like, it's just, it's not worth it. So, Amazon coming on with their Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick. They are looking at maybe making a new Fire Phone as well. And this, I don't get at all.
It's phones.
Yeah, multiple phones, you're right. So they're,
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know. Because they got the money and they can. But the first one was such
the Kindle disaster. The Kindle Fire sells really well for them. I don't know if it's just because, you know, it's just a tablet. But compared to the phone, even when they put it down to $199, which they tell me that's a totally different Fire phone than the one that they're selling on AT&T. Technically, it's the same one. They just unlocked all the bands. Because it's got like a Snapdragon 801, I think, in there. So, you know, it has like a ton of bands, but they had them all locked down except for AT&T's.
If anybody owned them, if any developers owned one,
mm-hmm.
I'd think of picking for it's cheap. It's got great specs and slap CML or CML that hits. But nobody's developed it for it because they. I mean, it's not bad for $199.
Well, yeah, for $199, but not when it was $700.
No.
Yeah, I think that was their biggest problem. You know, I think the Kindle Fire, brain's not working like usual. I think the Kindle Fire really had the edge because of the price. That was the first really cheap tablet, was it not?
Yep, it was before the Nexus 7, barely, but it was there. Well, not barely.
Yeah, so I
before the Nexus 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of got its, you know, foot in the market. Like, hey, we're the cheap tablet guys, and we still offer a good experience. And so now everybody, I think, thinks of that, and then we want to go buy a cheap tablet. Like, oh, I'll go buy a Kindle Fire, whatever.
Yeah, like the Kindle Fire HD, the 6-inch one is like $99, and you get a month of Prime for free, which is pretty much just a regular free trial, anyways.
But they've set a precedent. Of, you know, inexpensive, even the HDX, you know, their high-end, bigger tablets are under $400, and now you've got this phone that is locked to a carrier for the same price that you could get now, you know, a Nexus 6 or a iPhone 6 or, you know, like something high-end.
And it's not even the same, you know, specs. It's a 4.7-inch 720p display with a million cameras on it.
And yet, Bezos is really excited about the future of the next Fire Phone.
He has to
be. He's chalking up the first one.
He has to be. He's the owner of Amazon, so if anybody's going to be excited, it's got to be him.
And they're really, he says that the first Fire Phone was a learning experience, and pointed to some of the past like business ventures and services that Amazon has offered that have totally bombed. But they're just experimenting, is basically what he said with the Fire Phone. The first one didn't do well, so now they're gonna go back to the drawing board and want some new stuff. And they've got the money, so they're just gonna keep throwing money at it and see if they find something that is popular.
So
that's fine. I don't know. Yeah, pretty much. but Google has. I guess Amazon does too. The core set of services and products that they offer.
Amazon's are a bit different.
Them dream.
Amazon's is all like, you know, shopping, and Google's are a little bit of shopping, but mostly everything else. You know,
mostly service.
I guess I'd say productivity because you know you got email, Google Drive, stuff like that. Amazon doesn't have their own like email service. As far as I know, you might be working on one.
No. Nope. You can roll your own and rent space on their servers, you know, rent bandwidth from them. But
if you're a hardcore Prime user, you know, the Kindle Fire, the HDX is a really good tablet. I reviewed the 8.9-inch one, I think, last year. It was really nice. I mean, only thing for me was Google services.
Right, and that's what it comes back to. No Google services.
Yep. I really like the Fire TV. I mean, even without the Google services, it's still a great device. I can still use Showbox using the Allcast receiver on the Fire TV. So that's all good.
And the difference there is you don't need access to as many apps on streaming device. You can just sideload a couple of apps like Allcast and make it work well for you.
It's in the App Store.
Oh, is it? Good.
Yep.
Okay.
I haven't sideloaded anything on my Fire TV.
Even if you had to sideload it, it's not as big a deal. Whereas with the phone, you know, there are all kinds of apps that I would want to sideload. And then you're not getting regular updates through the Play Store. And so it's a debacle. But they're still working on it. So
When I had the Fire phone, I had Dropbox on there, and it was like three versions behind the one on my Android phone. I don't remember what phone I was using at the time, but it was pretty far behind.
And that gets frustrating. But I'm all for them experimenting. That's totally cool. I'm definitely not excited to see what else they put out necessarily. But we'll keep an eye on it for you. As slow as the week has been, we did still have some hardware news. So let's talk a little bit about that. We saw the OnePlus 2 pop up a couple times this week. It was listed on a Chinese reseller, listed on their for like $550. At this point, this is obviously just a placeholder because one of OnePlus's co-founders confirmed this week that the OnePlus is going to launch in either Q2 or Q3 of 2015. So we're looking at like next summer to get the OnePlus 2. But this reseller has it listed on their website. So we still know a whole lot about the OnePlus 2. The screen size is rumored to be a little bit smaller, but we haven't really heard much of anything else. It's probably going to be a little more expensive than the OnePlus 1. But we're still hearing right around a $500 price point, which is fantastic for a high-end smartphone.
It's still cheap. I mean, most of these phones are more look at the Nexus 6 is $650. I mean, and the Moto X is $500 off contract normally. Let me see what else. I think the Z3 Compact is around $550 off contract. So it's not like mind-blowingly cheap like the $350 price was, but it's still cheap.
And this Chinese reseller has it listed with a Snapdragon 805, the OnePlus 2, with a Snapdragon 805 and a 5.5-inch screen. That makes sense.
I'd be surprised if it launched with an 805, given it coming out in Q2 or Q3. I think expect it to break 10.
But, you know, maybe they're, you know, shifting just a little bit and trying to keep costs a little bit lower. This is also, it's so early that nobody knows. It's just a placeholder. So this Chinese site is probably just listing what they think is the next set of features for this phone. The website also says it's got 32 gigs of internal storage, a 16 megapixel camera on the back, 5 megapixel camera on the front, and a 3,300 milliamp hour battery. So
what'll be really interesting is to see if they can keep feature parity with what they have now.
Yeah.
On their own ROM I'm talking about. Like I was just reading the whole thing with Steve Kondik and all the other crap that's going on with India and the OnePlus One over there.
Yeah, because I don't think it's going to have official CM support.
Yeah, I think well, yeah, in India the OnePlus One won't because they have an agreement with Micromax and they legally can't.
Yeah, it's exclusive there.
Yep.
But I'm wondering if it's going to have CM, like, you know, outside of India.
Nah, I think the CM thing was just for the OnePlus One. I don't know if they had always wanted to do that, or maybe just with all the stuff that's going on, they just decided it'd be better for them to develop their own in-house thing. At the very least, I think I'm still kind of excited about it because it's still going to be AOSP based. It's not going to be like some crazy custom skinned blah, 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 whatever.
Well,
yeah, they're going to keep it simple. Cyanogen Inc. just can't figure out what the heck they're doing, man. Really, I know that this thing with India, in India, so if you didn't hear about this, OnePlus and Cyanogen Inc. basically kind of split up. Cyanogen inked a deal with, they signed a deal with Micromax in India to load custom versions of Cyanogen Mod on Micromax devices, and part of that deal was they can't work with anybody else. Cyanogen can't come preloaded on any other devices in India.
Yep.
Only Micromax devices. So that kind of OnePlus was just launching into India, but now they can't sell any more devices with Cyanogen Mod on them. I don't know why Cyanogen would even sign that deal with Micromax. They obviously like what Micromax is doing in India more than what OnePlus is doing in India. But they're breaking up with OnePlus just the same way they broke up with Oppo. Let's just partner up for one device, and then that's all we want to do. And we had heard rumors about OnePlus working on their own ROM like months and months ago. But this seems to kind of seal the deal. And so that's a great question, Nick. Are they going to be able to keep that development? Because whatever else you can say about Cyanogen Inc. and their business practices, they make a great product. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one, see what goes down there. Another big thing from Google this week in hardware, they filed a new patent design for Google Glass. So it looks like we're getting a new version of Glass. And the picture from the figure, from the patent filing, just looks like they got rid of the glasses portion, like the lenses on the glasses. So it's just the band around the head and then the eyepiece. I also read that they're putting an Intel processor in it. Yeah. But they're still working on Google Glass.
I don't know how I feel about them going Intel. Especially because of Intel's mobile track record.
Especially after them doing ARM before. Was it a Snapdragon in there? Some kind of Snapdragon in there?
In the previous Google Glass version?
I think so.
I believe so. I'd have to look it up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't actually know. I'm thinking, in terms of mobile stuff, Intel has never been good, really. I don't really know anything besides maybe Chromebooks and stuff, but that's more of a laptop type of processor.
ARM chips, those are pretty much the same ones you'd find in a Windows laptop.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, the stuff in phones and tablets, at least thus far, has not been great. I mean, heck, look at the one Motorola released last year in Europe?
Oh, that was a few years ago, the Razer Eye.
Yeah, that was the Razer Eye. I can't remember what the... I knew it had an eye in it.
Yep. They're getting better, because I reviewed that Acer Iconia 8 a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know if I'd say better. Because it wasn't Lenovo tablets, there's still issues.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. And there have been situations where it was straight up horrible. So In some situations, you know, it's been a little bit improved. I'm not necessarily excited about it, but we'll see.
Yeah, on the Dell Venue tablets, the 8 and the 10, they have Intel. I forget which one it is. They have Intel processors in there. And just going through the setup process, you know, tapping in the, you know, the text box to type in your email address, the keyboard just, like, lagged to even come on the screen. And then, like, I'm entering my email address. I'm on, like, the last part before the at symbol, and it's still putting in the first letter.
I almost wonder if a lot of this stuff is because Qualcomm owns the market. I mean, they own such a huge percentage of the market. I wonder if it's just that, you know, Android and a lot of these apps and stuff are really only designed to run well on Qualcomm chips. Because I know, like, the MX4 Pro, for instance, this uses the newest Exynos from Samsung. I have the same problems I have on a lot of other Exynos chips. Well, and the same was true with the regular. Yeah, I mean, but the same was true with the regular MX4 that used a MediaTek chip. Most of the time, it was great, but I ran into weird stutters and lags and things that I don't run into on Qualcomm chips. I just don't anymore.
And that's, you know, one of the things with Android is you have all these different variables in the hardware area, because you've got Qualcomm, NVIDIA, MediaTek, Exynos, Intel processors all in there. Yep. Compared to, like, Apple, it's, you know, it's all the same hardware, so that's why apps pretty much run the same on every one of their devices.
And you also have to look at some of the manufacturers that are creating this stuff.
Yep.
So is now with the new version of Google Glass, if it's running on an Intel chip, Google has, you know, developers and engineers that are going to make sure that it's working well, you know, that the software is optimized for the hardware. When we're talking about Chinese smartphones or, you know, Lenovo or Acer tablets, they're just putting together some hardware, slapping Android on it, making sure it boots up, and then shipping it for $150. So they're not really optimizing the software. And so you're right, Nick. There's an element of, like, it's kind of Qualcomm's world. And so by default, the software just runs better on Qualcomm chips.
Yeah, and I guess the silver lining with Glass is it's not Android. It's a custom OS just for Glass. So you're right. If they're going to make new hardware, they're going to design the software around that, because now they're only going to have two hardware configurations, not 6 million.
Yep.
The focus for so long has been, I shouldn't say for so long, the focus recently has switched to Android Wear, and we've kind of, Glass has kind of gotten pushed to the side, you know? Consumers seem to be taking to smartwatches a lot more than they ever did with Google Glass. And so
I think part of that's the price, too.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I still
think the creep factor plays in, too.
Yeah, if you had Google Glass for $200 and any Android Wear watch for $200, way more people are going to buy an Android Wear watch. Just because there's that stigma, there's that weird, that creep factor, like you said, Nick.
Yep.
But I'm glad that they're still working on it, because I think it's a super cool product.
I think it has its uses. Like, we've seen, you know, doctors using it for surgery and stuff like that. And it'd be really nice to, you know, have doctors recording that for med students and stuff. They could see firsthand how to do a specific surgery and stuff like that. And even in sports, I think they had some coaches wearing it during some games. Probably can't have players wearing it, because it would probably get damaged. But
Well, no, they were... Was it the Pistons? Who was it? There was a Rockets? Basketball team. Might have been the Rockets. They was wearing them on the sidelines. So not in the game, but still pretty cool.
Because you get that video angle that most cameras won't be able to get, or camera guys won't be able to get. Or so, they could just strap, like, the HTC re-camera to their forehead and just go about it.
I think you should get two, one on each side. So you can kind of point around this way.
Get the red one.
Ridiculous. Yes, little devil horns.
Right on. Too bad it only works for an hour and 40 minutes before I have to recharge it, though.
So that'll be interesting to see what's up with Google Glass as Google still works on that. Was there any other hardware stuff this week? That was all I could really dig up. I don't remember there being a whole lot.
Galaxy S5 is getting Lollipop in Poland right now.
Yes, so that's a good switch to some software and apps. Lollipop is rolling out to a bunch of devices. So it, LG first announced it in Poland as well on the LG G3. And Motorola actually got it out first, even though LG announced it first. Motorola got it out first to the Moto X. And now they're testing it on the Moto G in India. It's out for Nexus devices, obviously. And it's also, Lollipop is rolling out to a lot of Google Play Edition devices. So
the HTC One might be the only one that doesn't have it yet.
I saw that was delayed.
The S4, I don't think, has it either.
Yeah, and I know for sure the M8, it was delayed.
Yeah, so that's probably the same story.
But it's rolling out to the Xperia Z Ultra GPE, the LG G Pad 8, that the 8-inch tablet. So it's pretty easy to get a stock version of Android on a stock device, you know. This isn't rolling out necessarily outside of now Samsung and LG testing it in Poland. Why Poland? That's weird.
I don't know. This has happened before. The Galaxy S5 that Samsung's rolling it out on is the Exynos one, not the Snapdragon. So that doesn't really do anything for us. Well, pretty much everybody in the LTE market, not just the US.
But the G3 doesn't run on an Exynos chip.
I know. I don't know. So, I'm guessing they're rolling it out outside the US first because of the carriers, just so they can sit it first.
It's absolutely just, because of the carriers. How it happens. Yeah, the carriers will delay it.
Yep,
but I'm wondering what's different specifically about Poland.
I don't know.
Because you're right, Nick. We've seen this before in Poland first. Yep.
You'd think they do South Korea first. I mean, that's where they usually launch first. Because that's right. Their hometown.
Yeah.
I know LG did the KitKat update for the G2 in Korea first last year, so I don't know why they did Poland this year. They probably just spin the wheel and choose the country that they're going to start in.
Like, yeah, maybe. Yeah, just put a map on the wall and blindfold somebody and throw darts at it, and Poland just happens to be right in the middle. I don't know. So, but yeah, the $5 Lollipop is hitting a lot of devices, and it'll be hitting a lot more as we roll into December and then into the new year. A lot of manufacturers are promising it just after the first of the year, so January, February time frame.
Yeah, there was a French carrier today that said the Note 4 is getting it in January, but that's in France, so the U.S. will probably be a lot later.
Probably like March-ish time frame.
Because I believe the one in France is also an Exynos version and not the Snapdragon.
Probably, being over there. I'm just kind of hoping that the Lollipop rollout goes a little bit quicker than KitKat. Because I know we just saw the distribution numbers come in. I think it was Monday. And KitKat's now, what, like 34, 35%?
I don't know if you guys know Jelly Bean still has the biggest percentage. I don't know what the KitKat percentage was.
It's 34, 35.
Samsung is still rolling out KitKat to the Note 3 in some areas.
But yeah, I'm hoping it hits a lot faster, for sure.
It's just crazy, though. Like, we're a year out, and it's still only on a third of devices. I'm like,
Yep.
And some of it's manufacturers, and some of it's the carriers.
Yep.
Yeah, but, I mean, a lot of it's still the carriers in the U.S. The fact that, you know, you're going to see it in Europe and in South Korea, and then 90 days later, we get it here in the U.S. because Verizon and AT&T have to test it and test it and test it.
And then roll it out and pull it because there's something broken.
Right, because they got to go in and putz with it, mess it all up.
That happens a lot with Samsung on AT&T, though. Like, no other manufacturer has that issue on AT&T. where their updates get pulled like within a day of rolling out.
But it does happen to other carriers.
Yeah.
With it other devices. It happens
to AT&T a whole lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
Cue the iOS 8 update.
Right. Yeah. That was a huge one. And the carriers
that was funny because it just killed everything.
That was impressive. I don't really know how that one happened.
Yeah.
I mean, no cellular connection. The fingerprint reader was dead. I wonder if the whole home button was dead. That would be awesome.
It was crazy. There was a lot of angry people about that. But they always got a putz with stuff. Even the Droid Turbo, if you look at that, man, that's essentially the Moto X. But Verizon screwed it all up. Same thing with the Sony Z3V. Look at camera samples of the Z3V, even versus the Z2. Not even up against the Z3. And they putzed with the software, and the cameras, the pictures don't come out as well because they got to go in and mess with stuff.
And with Sony, they probably just messed up the whole camera.
Yeah, yeah. I looked at a comparison now. I looked at comparisons of both the Z2 versus the Z3V on Verizon and the Z3 versus the Z3V. And both the Z2 and the Z3 beat out the Z3V on Verizon. It's the same hardware. It should be the same software. And yet, Verizon did something to mess with it.
And the Z3V, the pictures from the Z3V aren't even bad. I mean, they're just not as good as the Z3 and the Z2.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to have to look this up. I've never heard of this.
Yeah, and again,
I haven't either, so.
The Z3V still has a good camera. You know, it's still one of the better.
It still outbeats the Moto X and probably the Nexus 6.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic. I've been super happy with the camera on the Z2 also.
Yeah, Sony's cameras are really good. Even on the Droid Turbo, it's really good. Especially like HDR at night. Man, mm-hmm. Those pictures are awesome.
But they just got a putz with it, man. It's no good.
Because if you put your SIM card in the Nexus 6, it'll just auto-download those bloatware apps. Which with the T-Mobile SIM, it only downloads the two on my account, which I don't mind that app.
Yeah.
Speaking of Nexus and Verizon, not to get too off track, do you know if you can just drop the Verizon one in there and it'll work?
Yeah, I've done it. Mm-hmm. I did it with the T-Mobile SIM.
Okay, because I was thinking that was the case because somebody was asking me today. And yep. I ended up just telling them to get a Droid Turbo because I wasn't sure and I couldn't find anything on it.
I would still recommend that too unless they really want a big screen.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't care, but...
Fairly it would be better on the Droid Turbo once you get Lollipop and plus the camera.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that pixel density is just insane. What is it, like 6 million per inch?
Maybe that's why it lags, even though the specs are better than the Moto X. Again, Verizon got the putz with it.
It's also a 2K display. So
Yeah.
I think if they had kept the 1080p, that battery life would be really amazing, especially at 3,900 milliamps.
Yeah. But back to Lollipop. So that's that actually leaked out. In video form, just on video, not a flashable zip or anything. But it leaked out for the Note 4. And we also got word that Google will be releasing it for the Nexus 4 pretty soon. So, Lollipop, all the devices.
Yep.
Anything else you guys want to talk about? Anything big that I missed this week?
Well, I was going to say 5.0.1, but that's not really big.
Oh, yeah, but that's worth mentioning. So,
and Google it's only pushed... for the tablets right now, I think. Right?
Nexus, yes, the 7, the 2012 and 2013 7, Nexus 7, and then the Nexus 10 factory images. But they pushed the code to AOSP.
So, yeah, do we have a change log yet?
Because I don't have it on the Nexus 6.
I haven't seen the changelog yet, Nick. I think it was... It's incremental. It's a 5.0.1 build number, so it's bug fixes. Okay. They probably... there were people that were still talking about like wake lock issues and different things. Yes. So,
yep,
squashing bugs.
Yeah, I'm expecting to go probably to like 5.0.5 or even 6 with the Lollipop release, because there's, you know, it's such a big release that there's going to be a lot of bugs.
And this is one of those things that for people who don't care, for the average consumer, it's a better experience in that situation to wait a couple of weeks or even a couple of months. You know, the manufacturers can get a hold of it and get these updates baked in as well. So that's not necessarily a bad thing to have to wait a little while if they can get it right, as long as you're not waiting, you know, 6 months. But, yeah, so let's talk about what's new in your Android world. Alex, what you got new this week, man?
I don't think I have anything.
So tell me about all the stuff you ordered on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, because I know you went crazy. You bought all kinds of stuff.
I didn't go that crazy, but I bought a Moto X. Should be here Friday. I actually bought some Lion stuff because Lions are actually winning for like the first time ever. It's not really a whole lot of other stuff I bought. Well, I talked about the Yogas last week, didn't I? The huge 13-inch.
Yeah, the big tablets.
That you can hang on the wall.
Yup.
With a projector. And I have something coming from AT&T tomorrow. I have no idea what it is, though. So,
surprise!
I think it might be a Note Edge, but I'm not sure.
Oh, that would be nice.
Oh, dang.
It would be nice because I have some Note Edge cases to review.
And no phone to put them in.
I guess I could show that. Incipio, as usual, sent me a couple Note-ish cases, the Octane and then the Duo Pro Shine, which is one of my personal favorite cases. Pretty much bought that for every phone I have.
That's awesome.
How do those work in particular with the side? Do they just not have the side?
I haven't taken it out yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, I have to imagine that it'll just clip on the top and bottom and leave that side open.
Let's look and see.
So that'll be fun, man.
Looking at this, it like curves down like that, so you see the sides here. It's not like the full side that's the screen, it's just like that top part.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Should be an easy review, though, because it's basically just a Note 4, and we've already done that.
Yeah. Cool. That's what's up, man. Nick, what about you? What's new, man? Anything good?
I'm looking through my apps here. That watch face that I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the one that's minimal and elegant.
Yeah.
I've been working with that developer a lot. He started like a beta community, and he's added a bunch of nice little features to it, fixed a bunch of little bugs. Like I had a weird bug on the Gear Live, because I guess when it goes into dim mode, it does like this 8-bit color thing to save battery.
Okay.
And so sometimes with these watch faces, if they're not made specifically for that, you get really weird issues with colors. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just strange looking. So he basically fixed all that stuff, put a couple of new things in there. For a buck, I think it's my favorite watch face. It's one of the only custom ones that I constantly come back to.
That's awesome.
Let's see. I learned today about Greenify's little swipe up to sleep feature. So I still gotta get used to doing it. I keep forgetting to do it. But if you get Greenify, I think you have to have root to do this. Although I don't know, maybe not, because it's just an action. So when you're swiping up on the home button to go to Google Now, it will pop up a little thing like normal, asking you what you want to set it as default. And one of the default options is Hibernate. So you literally just click that, and then swiping up from the home button now makes it sleep. So if you have double tap to wake, you literally don't ever have to use your power button, which I thought was cool, especially if you're worried about, you know, I don't know, your power button breaking at some point or something like that, because that's not unheard of, especially depending on the phone.
That's actually, yeah, and that could save some folks if their power button is broken and they, you know, can't get a new phone at the moment. I'm actually going to go download that and try it out. I used to use Greenify and haven't in a while just because I haven't, you know, had issues with battery life on the last couple phones that I've had. So yeah,
same here.
But that's a really cool feature, and I don't often swipe up to get to Google Now. That's usually a widget that I've got set up in Aviate. So that would be a really cool feature to not have to, like, fumble, shift the phone and to get to the path, you know?
Yeah, I'm so handy. Muscle memory on clicking it with my thumb. I have to break myself of that now.
Right, right. And that'll come with time.
Yeah, absolutely. I just got to start using it. Gosh, let's see. I'm working on the review for the Meizu MX Pro. I will hopefully have that done by this weekend. We'll see how it goes. Gosh, what the heck else? I have this nice little teal box, I guess this is. This is the Huawei, I guess is the Honor 6. And I don't know, I haven't even turned it on yet, but device-wise, if you can even see it, looks, I don't know, like an iPhone. I don't know what else to say about it.
It's Chinese one.
Yeah, it looks a lot like an iPhone though. Like some of them are inspired, I guess, if you will. Like the Meizu. Like you can tell, okay, it's definitely got quite a few physical traits, but it doesn't look exactly like an iPhone. This thing looks pretty much like an iPhone. I don't know. There's not a whole lot of differences. It's more of the same than what's different. It's super light though. So, I don't know, we'll see. Maybe I get to that next week or something after I finish up this other thing. I don't think I have any more devices, though. Yeah. I don't know. If I find anything else lying around here, I'll mention it.
Yeah, that's awesome. What do you think about the MX4 Pro so far?
So far, I'm pretty impressed with it. It's basically a supercharged MX4 with a couple more features. So, like, you got that fingerprint scanner that is really, really, really quick. And it's really accurate, too. I've only ever had it say the fingerprint was wrong one time, and that was when I stuck my thumb on it sideways, just to see how far I could turn my thumb until it told me it was wrong. And when you're setting the thing up, you have to do it in a whole bunch of different parts of your thumb anyway, so I think it kind of takes that into effect. And this is a thing that I was talking about earlier with like the Exynos versus the MediaTek chip. The camera seems like it's slower on this than it was on the other one. Like, the shutter has a noticeable delay when you click it.
Yeah, so I also had a delay, but I didn't really use the MX4 that much, so I couldn't really tell the difference.
Yeah, the original MX4 really only had a delay when you were using HDR, and it made HDR kind of unusable because of the delay between shutter, and this is kind of the same thing. It's just super, super slow shutter. So, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll get some good shots out of it.
As long as it's, you know, your setting is stationary and nothing is moving, you'll be okay.
Basically.
Cool. Well, that's what's up, man. New stuff for me this week. I got the review up for these MPOW lenses. So it was a fisheye, a wide angle, and a macro lens. Those are fun, man. Nothing life-changing, but something fun to kind of play with the camera on your phone. I'm working on a review for a selfie stick that MPOW sent me. I have no need for a selfie stick ever in my life, but whatever.
I actually have one of those coming from, I don't know the name of the company, but they asked me if I wanted it with some other stuff, so I said sure.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. It's just a stick. You put your phone in it. It's got a button to take the picture, and so you can kind of get like a big, if you got a big group of people or something behind you. I don't take a lot of selfies anyways. I don't care, but whatever.
The one that they're sending me actually has, you know, like the regular tripod mount for a regular camera, like, you know, like my Sony RX100. So I think that would be pretty useful for, like, at Mobile Congress and stuff, because I can control my camera from my phone. so I can get those high up shots.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool.
That's the biggest reason why I said, sure, send it over.
Yeah. And if you got a use case for it, awesome. I don't. MPOW also sent me these, the Muse Touch, M-U-Z-E, Touch Bluetooth headphones. So these are wireless headphones. They run for, I think they're $70 on Amazon. They're pretty bass heavy, which is not necessarily my thing. Like, the bass kind of overpowers everything else. But they get really loud. So if you like a lot of bass, the touch controls on the sides are really cool too. So changing tracks, you just kind of slide your finger across it to go back and forth. Volume up and down, you just slide your finger up across this thing or down to turn the volume down. So they're pretty cool. They're comfortable enough. The ear cups are a little small, so it like creates a weird suction. I'm hoping that'll, as I kind of break them in, that'll work a little bit better. It does have an auxiliary jack if you want to plug them in and use them wired.
So you nice, like that.
Yes, me too. I'm curious to see sound quality and battery life when they're Bluetooth versus when they're plugged in. So I'll be playing with that. I'll have that done. I'm working on the selfie stick. I got a couple of Bluetooth speakers to review. I've got another one from Rapoo, R-A-P-O-O, that actually feels really solid. I haven't taken it out of the box yet, but like just in the package, it feels like it is heavy. It's got like a steel band around the outside. It's really heavy. So we'll see.
I got another. That packaging looks so familiar.
Does it?
Yeah. Like some other Bluetooth speaker companies. I think is Fugu. I know I'm pronouncing it wrong because they yelled at me last time for it. But their 40-hour battery life speaker was packaged just like that.
I'm not surprised, man. They're a Chinese company.
Well, this one's an American company.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Seattle, I think. Sorry, but yeah, this one's like...
I'm sorry, Rapu is Korean, not Chinese. But yeah, so we'll see about that. I also have this 4-port car charger to dive into that.
Nice.
It's a 9.6 amp, 48 watt, so full speed charging for up to four devices, USB plug.
So you can charge all your review units at once.
Right, in the car. You know, driving around
and carry your car battery.
My work truck, because I have at least 3 phones in a work truck at any point in time. Especially if there's somebody else in there.
And my wife has an iPhone, so the plugs are different. So now I can just stick the USB plugs, USB cables in there.
That's really why those USB ones are really good now.
Because
for a while, Samsungs were different too for like the tablets.
And I have another one that I got, I think, from Verizon that has it is a micro USB charger, but it also has a USB port. So, like, you get both, which is kind of cool. But this one's even better because you got four plugs there. So we'll have those reviews up in the next couple of weeks. I'll be cranking those out. I've got a Cricket sending me a HTC Desire 810, I think.
I think it's the 510.
510, not the 810? Okay.
The 810, I think, is like that huge 5.9-inch device or something with like a 480 by 850 display.
Oof. I'll have to look at the email.
I think it's the 510. I don't think they have the 810.
But yeah, so that's on its way. I think that arrives tomorrow. So I'll be doing an unboxing and doing some hands-on videos with some of these accessories too, because videos are fun. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for the Android Headlines show this week. You can find us on iTunes. We're going to lead off with that. Find us on iTunes. Go rate us on iTunes. Go tell us a funny story on iTunes. Give us 5 stars or 4 stars, but no less than 4 stars. And tell us about your Thanksgiving, how awesome or horrible your Thanksgiving was. and then rate us 5 stars.
You should give us 6 stars.
Can you do that on iTunes?
No.
Okay.
You should give us six out of five.
Give us 5 and then put an emoji star in there, in the comment.
Perfect. There I like go. It.
So you could also, obviously, find us at androidheadlines.com, on Twitter, at Android Headline without the S, Google Plus, Facebook too. Let us know what you want to hear. Next week, we are going to have Will Choi from 88 and Yahoo on the show with us. Super excited about that, so make sure you tune in next week too. Nick, Alex, thanks for hanging out, guys. It's always a blast.
Always.
See everybody next week.
Later.